are as glad as I am to be here. King David, who was labeled a man after God's own heart, said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. Here we get the chance to fellowship, sing praises, worship, showing God our love and appreciation. The title of my lesson is Life After Death and Christ's Second Coming. The Bible gives validation to both phrases, and I have confidence in God's word that they are true. The question is, do you believe in God's the life after death and God's second coming? And do you believe that this is true? Before we locate in the Bible where these prophesied events are mentioned, I am going to ask that everyone give me a brief moment to set the stage for this first fact, life after death. I would like to tell you of a story about a poor man in need of food, medical assistance, and who later died. I know that it is strange to start a story with someone's life ending. The sad thing is there was someone nearby in this story with the resources to help. Just like today, many in the world are walking around spiritually dead and in need of someone to give them assistance and instructions on how to obtain eternal life in heaven. If you can recall, we needed that assistance once upon a time. I'm going to ask that you turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to ask that you bear with me. I'm going to turn there and read that. It says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you know what disobedience means? Rebellious. The Bible definition says that knowing what God has asked and not doing it. And you have that right. The third verse, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And I want to say, some have this phrase, they have a misunderstanding of this phrase. They think that they can do whatever and grace will abound. I read this story once. It was called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He had this mental condition where he would switch from good to bad, no control. Sometimes that's Christians today. They have this idea that they can go God and them and switch from the devil to God at any time. You've got to try to maintain one or the other. Romans 6, 1 through 6 says, bear with me here. Romans 6, 1 through 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And let's continue on the sixth verse. And hath raised, I sort of backtracked there. I'm going back to the Ephesians, the second chapter, and the sixth verse. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul also prayed to God on Christians' behalf to give strength and wisdom to understand what is at stake. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Here, he actually was addressing the Ephesian church, but I think this also applies to us as well. I'm going to ask that you turn there, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And it's a beautiful prayer where Paul addresses the church of Ephesians. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him up, raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above the principalities and powers and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We Christian soldiers have been ordained to tell the people of the world what it takes to obtain this everlasting life in heaven after their physical death. And Christians, let us not stand by idle, rich in knowledge and understanding, looking at those that are dead in sin while we have the resources to give them so they can partake of this everlasting life in heaven. There's a song, 598, the chorus of the song says, you never mention him to me. You help me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet never mention him to me. The scripture given for this song is 1 Timothy 4:16. Let me give you an assurance of immortality. There is to be a general resurrection when Christ appears, and all will be caught up to stand before him and receive their eternal reward. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 27, I beg 1 through 21, I beg you to read that entire chapter because it truly sheds light on the assurance of immortality. Let's read 9 through 11 of 2 Corinthians 5. This paragraph is labeled the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the life, done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are well known to God. We are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest. Manifest meaning clear. In our conscience are well known in God. As you listen to this story about this man dying, you will see that all endings are also beginnings. And to further emphasize this fact and this story, Christ spoke in John, the 5th chapter, 28 and 29, concerning the fact about life after death. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. There's going to be a roll call. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There are other verses also that states that there will be life after death. Revelations 20, 12 through 15 talks about the last judgment. The 12th verse reads, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn to Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. Actually, this is where my lesson is actually stemming from. Luke 16, 19 through 31. The poor man I was telling you about, the one in need of food, medical assistance. 16, 19 through 31. And it reads, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell did he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, Between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here we hear the story that I started with, of a poor man in need of food assistance. And the latter part, which was a stretch there, I want to add that we as Christians today must always be mindful of the fact that our duty is the same as some of Christ's duties while he was here on earth. Even though Christ, being the Savior and author, had more of an influence and gave more of an impact, he also was commissioned with the same duty as we Christians. Luke 4:18-19 says, Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We as Christians today have an important role to play in the salvation of others. And if we do not tell people the truth of the matter, their souls can and will be lost. Christians are commissioned by Christ. Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Most people in the world today don't know or fully grasp what is going to take place after they have passed on. And I think this is why a number of people do not give of their best to God when it comes to service and obedience. Something has led them to believe that service to God is not mandatory to receive redemption. I think some believe that they can be sinners and not be truly truthful to God. And when they die, the preacher is just going to preach them into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You must get serious about your service to God. I don't think no one wants to be condemned to an eternity of torture. I think that the majority of people have been trained by the world that this life of substances, minimal power and control that we seem to think we have, is all there is to life. Because of this unsurety in our minds of heaven and hell being real, the masses have poor study habits or know very little of what the Bible deems valuable and true. The truth of the matter is that not only is service to God mandatory, it is to be performed according to the scriptures. And not only has it got to be performed according to the scriptures, you must enjoy performing the service, which should be so very easy to do. Knowing what sacrifices God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit has made for us, and what pleasures and necessities they have given us, we must prove that we truly love God, and not just in word, James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I want you to take the time or mark James 2:14 through 26, and that actually sheds the light on faith and works. Being a Christian is not always going to be easy. Now the part of service, desiring to serve and service to God, should become easier and easier as you study and grow in Christ's word. But the stumbling blocks placed in your path is what makes service to God sometimes hard. I heard this sermon once by a preacher, and he preached about different types of stumbling blocks. And we must remember that all stumbling blocks come from the devil. If you want to verify that, Job 1 and 6 talks about Satan being there when the sons of God approach him. And he said that he looked up and there was Satan. And he said, Satan, where have you been? And he said, to and fro, seeking whomever I can to devour. Another verse says, Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. A major health issue, some of these stumbling blocks, I would like to give some of these stumbling blocks. A major health issue or major famine by nature. If you remember the story of Job 1:12, apparently Job understood that this world wasn't his home. Job understood the complexity and all of this life's gifts that God gave him were blessings to help him worship and not to feel like he doesn't need God. If you recall, all of his animals were killed, his servants were killed, his children were killed, and Job made the comment in verse 21 of Job chapter 1, the Lord gives and takes away. Another time it says that the devil made it happen, soars from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. His wife said, curse your God and die. Even his friends asked, what have you done? What have you done, Job? And Job, I must say, he was human. He actually said, he did get a little depressed. He said, you know, God, what's going on? And if you recall, in the 38th chapter, the Lord actually lays down, where were you, Job, when I created this world? And it's a whole chapter describing, you know, this is just something, this is not your home. And a lot of times we try to make this world our home, and it is not. The government, another stumbling block, may say, go no more service to God, or I will have you thrown into the lion's den. You remember the story of Daniel. Daniel proved to the king by showing the king, you can feed me to the lions. It is not worth denying my God who gave me this life. Another stumbling block could be trained addictions by the world, lust, greed, drunkenness, and the desire for worldly gain. You recall Israel, who had God as their superior, asked for a physical king, stating that they wanted what everybody else had. They tell me that after an addiction has been started, it is always stuck in the back of your mind. Even once you become a Christian, you must fight or always remember who you are to serve. And if you are not careful, you will want to go back to the old man, the old ways. Worldly acceptance, peer pressure. Adults also get pressure from their peers. Remember the story of Peter? Peter said, Lord, I will never forsake you. And if you recall, some of them asked, aren't you with Christ? Your speech betrays you as one of them. And Peter said, I don't even know the man. I think the scripture says that he even cursed trying to fit in with the world because he was afraid of this physical body being harmed. I must say, try again to serve and be faithful to God. Worshiping God is serious business and not a game. Do you know how serious service to God while here on earth is? Matthew 5:29-30 says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, don't go cutting your members off. The Bible, it wants you to have control. Control your members by making them observe the rules that God has established. That's if you want to make it to heaven. Please try to keep in focus that the world is not our home. We are just passing through. This world is more like a fishbowl. You are being watched, and data is being recorded. Psalms 139:7-12 says that you cannot hide. Brother Ridge, it says that you could go to the deepest part of the ocean. I can still put my hand on you, God said. He said that you can go into space. I can still get you. He also said, if you wait to black dark and try to hide, there's no darkness. I am God. Everything that's in, there's no such thing as darkness. God sees it like light. Love not the world. 1 John 2:15-17. We are not to love this world. 1 John 2:15, because it will become a stumbling block to your salvation. If you are not very careful, your service to God can suffer or become very weak. If you fall in love with the world, what I'm trying to say is balance your service, making sure God gets his due service. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I am going to close. I didn't get a chance to talk about the second coming of Christ. But if there's anyone that needs baptism, there's a simple plan. The only thing that God asks is that you hear this word, you believe this word, you repent, confess, and be baptized, and continue living for God. For the Lord himself has asked and commanded that we do what he asked. And with that, we'll have the invitation song.